Welcome back, brothers and sisters. It looks like the Feds have decided to cut rates and not by 0.25%, but by 0.5%. So what does this interest rate cut mean for people like you, for your housing, for your car, and for your consumer debt? Well, we're going to listen in and see what they have to say, and I'm going to come back with my analysis.
Let's get a closer look at the impact on our wallets. We've got NBC's Vicky Nguyen.
Hi.
Vicky, let's start with the housing market. So how is it going to affect you?
Okay, here's the thing. We waited for a very long time. Good things finally came to those who wait, but the rates fall so much slower than they go up. So zooming out, let's look at the 30-year fixed rate right now, 6.15%. So what the Fed does, it's a benchmark rate. It doesn't directly set mortgage rates, but it does have a major influence. But look at what's happened since 2021, the same time, September, rates were 3%. The next year, they jumped to 6%, doubled. So last year in October, by the way, it was 8%.
Brothers and sisters, I do want you to keep this in mind. When I used to work in the banking system, we used to call these lists. And basically what it was a refinance list. So when rates start to go down, you would call your clients and say, Mr. Client, it looks like rates are going down. You know, you had a 6 or 7%. It looks like it's down to 3 or 4%. Would you like to refinance? A lot of people said, no, I don't want to refinance. I want to keep it everything the same. But why did they do that? Because they said, well, I don't want to sign another 30-year mortgage. And that's true. A majority of people that refinance, they usually sign up for an additional 30 years. But I'm here to tell you a secret. If you have paid 15, 20 years into your mortgage, you have 10 years left, you sign up for a 10 or 15 year mortgage. You don't have to sign up for a 30 year mortgage. So you can still get that interest rate. You can pay less in interest and you don't have to renew that cycle over and over and over again and perpetually never pay off your mortgage. And here, do you see how low the rates actually went? And guess what? They skyrocketed back to 8%. Now these people can't refinance. They can't do anything with their homes. And it's even more difficult to make a home. And this is just in 3 years. This is what we call opportunity cost. A lot of people missed out on saving thousands and thousands of dollars because they were just waiting for the rates to continue to go down, down, down. Listen, don't get greedy. If you find an opportunity to save you a few thousand dollars, take it. If you miss it when it goes down, so be it. Maybe wait for the next cycle or whatever it may be. But don't just do nothing when you know that there's money on the table to be taken. Now, obviously, you have to add in additional costs like closing costs, things of that nature. But once you know your numbers and know that you could save money in the long run, you may want to take a chance.
Now at 6%, that's helpful. Everyone was anticipating this rate cut. Mm-hmm. But Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two financial institutions, are predicting that by the end of next year, we'll be down to 5.7%. That doesn't sound like amazing, but the Fed chair has said he doesn't think we're going to see 3%. Ever again. So if you are in the market for a house, here's what you should be doing right now. Number one, making sure you do everything to improve your credit score. That means paying down high interest loans,
Amen.
Making sure you're not opening any new credit cards, getting all your financial paperwork in order. Also, hiring a really experienced real estate agent who knows the market, because guess what? The inventory is still low. So competition is going to be fierce. You want to make sure when you make an offer, you are as competitive as you can be.
Got it. So that's if you're looking to buy a house. What about, let's say you got locked in at one of those interest rates when it was north of 6%. Is this the time to refi, or the Fed meets again in a few months?
That's right.
They're expected to perhaps cut rates again. Should you wait?
So the experts say it's so tempting to try and refinance right now, but you're absolutely right. The Fed will meet again in November after the election, and in December, they're projecting another 0.5-point cut. So if you can wait even into early next year, they say go ahead and wait. Because here's the thing, refinancing isn't free, right? So here's what you want to think about. Number one, would you refinance to a new rate that's 1 to 2% lower than what you're paying? Okay, maybe think about it. Refinancing costs 2 to 6% of the new loan amount. Sure, the lender's going to say, we'll roll it into your monthly payment. You don't have to pay it all up front. But you got to do the math. Look at the monthly payment and see, now you're extending your loan longer. Will the savings outweigh the cost?
This is some great advice, some great general advice. Let me get a little bit more detailed. My name is AB Ridgway. I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience. And as far as the housing market is concerned, she said something that made my financial advisor ears kind of perk up. She said, inventory is already low. So you're telling me you want these people to wait a year, maybe even a year and a half, to get a smaller percentage for inventory that's already low. If somebody wants that house, they're going to take that house now on the 1 to 2%. And now you're going to be rubbing your hands, hoping that you get your dream home and is going to be sold and someone's going to be living in it and they're going to do it the right way. But she also said exactly what I had said. There's other fees that are associated with refinancing your home. But once you know those numbers, you can pull the trigger. Don't wait for an additional 1 or 2%, hoping the feds, you know, do something, because that house may not be on the market. And now you're forced to live somewhere you don't really want to be. And how miserable will it be to live in a house you don't want to live in for 25 years because you want to wait 12 months. And also, brothers and sisters, before I get back to the video and she continues what she was saying, remember what I told you? She gave you the same advice that I warned you again. She said, oh, you're extending for another 30 years or you're extending your loan. You don't have to extend your loan. There are other options. Just because you keep your same monthly payments the same doesn't mean that it's going to be a better deal. It may be better for you to maybe even increase your monthly bills by $50 or $100 to make sure you're paying off the loan so the interest doesn't go to the bank. Every year that you extend your loan, more interest is being paid to the bank, not to you. It seems like it's giving you more time to pay it off, but if you don't need it, you have the assets, you've been saving, you have your down payment, everything is working like clockwork, go ahead and shorten the loan term.
All right, let's talk car loans. I know a lot of people are in the market for a car. So what should we be doing this weekend? Should we be looking, shopping for cars, or should we wait?
Just last week we were talking about how car prices are falling. That is great news. The average price for a new car, $47,000, but the median price is much lower depending on what kind of car you're shopping for. A used car average price, $27,000. So that's fantastic. Incentives are back. Inventory is back. The loan rates won't fall as quickly, you know, because it takes a little bit of time for all this to trickle down.
Yeah.
The average rate for a new car loan right now, 7%, according to Edmunds, 11% for a used car. But here's the thing. You don't have to accept the loan that's offered to you at the dealership.
Hmm.
Go to your bank, go to your credit union. Oh. And if you are a veteran, USAA has new car loans starting at 4.49%, the low rate. So if you have excellent credit, you could get an even better rate.
This is great, great advice. Let me add on to this. Yes, you're going to get your rate prior to going to the car dealership because they make their money on the what? The back end by charging extra. So what they will do, they say, what's your bank? They say, oh, I shop at XYZ Bank. Okay, let me see what they're offering you. Then they'll go to their little computer and XYZ Bank will say, oh, you're approved for 7%. And then guess what the car dealership does? Hey, Mr. Ridgway, you are qualified for 7.5%. Isn't that great? You know, the average is 11%. You qualify for 7.5. And you're all excited. You jump out of your chair. You sign the deal and you go on with your car. And guess what? They get 0.5% of that interest for the length of that loan, whether it's 4, 5, 6 years or whatever it may be. That's how they make their money. So how do you avoid that? You go to your bank. You get pre-qualified. They're going to say, hey, you're eligible for 7%. You go perfect. You go to the dealership, but you don't brag about your rate because all they're going to do is either increase the price or something, trying to take your money away from you. So this is what you do. You're quiet. You let them go through their spiel. You test drive the car. You let them give you a deal. You say, is this the final number? Yes. Okay. Do you want us to run your credit to figure out what your rate is? Yes. Go run it. They'll come back, says, congratulations. You're eligible for 7.5 for this vehicle. And then you go, no, I'm not. It's 7% or it's 6.95 or it's 6 point something. And you put that on the table and says, that's my rate. That is how you're going to get ahead and not get in trouble on the back end. Okay. That's just a little tip from me. Make sure that you go to your credit union, get your number, keep it a secret, get your final digit or your final number for that car, and then use the rate. And that's how you're going to save some money. If you like tips and information like this, and I know we have to get back to the video, but make sure that you subscribe, click that like button, click that like button, click that like button. It helps with the algorithm and pushes this out to more people so more people can know how to save money just like this.
Do you usually get a better rate at a bank versus at the dealership? Is that generally the case?
It's going to depend on the car that you're shopping for and what kind of incentives that dealer is offering. And if you have excellent credit, some dealers are offering rates as low as 0 to 2%.
Mm-hmm. Credit card debt. Mm-hmm. I mean, over the last few years, Americans have racked up nearly $1 trillion in credit card debt. What does the Fed's decision yesterday mean for folks trying to pay down their balance?
Eventually, it's going to be great news. But we have seen credit card interest rates hit record highs over the last couple of years. Right now, they're sitting around 23% for a new credit card. Wow. This is according to Wallet Hub, 21% for an existing credit card. Think about it. That means if you spend $100 and you don't pay it off right away, you owe $123. That's crazy. Yeah. That's financial quicksand. Mm-hmm. Don't get into credit card debt in the first place. But if you are, pay off your high interest cards first. That is number one. Here's what can help you. Transferring all of that debt to a new credit card. For a year, a lot of credit cards will offer you 0% interest. If you can't get one of those deals, go to the bank and ask for a personal loan. A lot of times those interest rates are much, much lower. You use that personal loan, you pay off all your credit card debt, and then you chip away at that personal loan. But it's so important. Who wants to pay 23% interest? Nobody.
A lot of financial strategies going here. I'm trying to break this down as simple as possible, and I want to take it from the top. One, no offense to any political party, but when President Biden told credit card departments that, hey, we're going to have a max for overdraft fees and things of that nature, credit card department says, oh, okay, we're just going to raise the rates. And that's exactly what they did. They are not losing money. You could say you capped overdraft fees and things of that nature, but to get a little quick win with the people, but these credit cards are going to win. And that's what we see here, 23%, something like that for a credit card. But she is right. It is financial quicksand. She says something very important as well. You can take a personal loan, you could pay off your credit card debt. But before you rush to your bank to get a personal loan, there's one key element she keeps talking about that she is blowing over. And I think it goes over your head, but as a financial advisor, I hear it with bleeding ears. You have to have good credit, good credit. She said, if you have good credit, the dealership may give you a good deal. If you have good credit, you can transfer your assets. If you have good credit and available credit, you can transfer to a different credit card. Credit is very important. Everybody wants to talk about how credit doesn't matter. When you're in debt, credit really does matter. But it really matters that you protect yourself before you get in these dangerous situations, because credit is like telling the world you have not paid off the people you owe. You know, wouldn't it be great if you met someone and says, hey, can I borrow $20? And they had a number on their forehead saying 100. You're like, wait, you owe other people money. The probability of you paying me back is very low. Look at your number. But if you see somebody with 833, you go, oh, you pay back the people that you owe. Here, I'll give you $20. It's a greater probability you're going to pay me back, right? That's the same thing with a lot of these strategies. So as you think about paying off this debt, I want you to think about increasing your credit score as well. That means paying back the people that you owe. It's very dishonest to take money from someone and refuse to pay it back, whether it's your student loan, whether it's your credit card, because you got the education, you got the food, you got the car, whatever that you got. Now you don't want to pay the person back. That's unethical. It's not moral and it's not right. So focus on paying those people back as soon as you possibly can, getting your money, putting that towards your debt so you can start putting money into compound growth and investing so you can make 23% and 21% instead of having to pay it to someone else.
And then my favorite tip, always negotiate. Here's the thing.
I
grew up haggling.
I bet the car dealers hate to see you walk in.
I bought all the cars for my family and it's fantastic. I do it all over the internet. That's a whole nother segment. But here's the thing. You call up your credit card number, that 800 number on the back, and you say, hey, listen, can you please give me a lower interest rate? And you know what? It works 76% of the time. LendingTree did a study. Wow. They said, when you ask, you shall receive.
By the way, if you hold a phone like this, we know how old we are.
In the video, she's holding it like the old school phone that goes to your ear, to your mouth. They're saying the new people, they kind of hold their hand flat as a flat phone, but she has the old school horn, kind of like the hang loose sign that hangs up to your ear. So if you're not on YouTube, make sure you go to YouTube because there's a video version of this. But you can actually see the person who's presenting. But I think that's pretty funny because sometimes I still do that. But you know, I'm growing. I was born in the 80s, so you know, you know, time flies or whatever it may be. But also, she says she loves to negotiate, and she says she does everything on the internet. Once again, my ears start to perk up. She says she buys all her cars on the internet. Why? Because it's easier to leverage prices when you shop at different dealerships. If you walk into one dealership in your city and you want to negotiate, you may sit there for 30, 40 minutes, even if you have all the the confirmations or all the receipts and screenshots, all that you want. But when you're on the internet, these people are online trying to sell cars. So if you say, I have this deal at www.rentacar, and it's the same car, same model, same mileage, same whatever, I want to buy it from you, but they have it $100 cheaper. What can you do? It gives you more leverage. And when you have three or four people saying it too, then either you go with a person or you can go somewhere else, but you're going to get the best deal. No one's going to be able to rip you off because you've already done the pre-work. You've done the shopping. And that's what we talk about, planning. That's why financial plans are so important, because if you know your budget, if you know what kind of car you want, if you know how much it costs, people can't rip you off. Either you're just going to have to walk away, or you're going to have to understand you're going to lose the money. But hopefully you just walk away, you find a better deal, and you find a different alternative, and you keep more money in your pocket.
Yeah. All right. Just, is there anything we should keep in mind?
Okay. We talk about the credit card debt and what a financial like sand trap that really is. But I also think we're going into the holidays, and as many great deals as you're going to see, don't overspend for the holidays. Don't put it all on your credit card. There is nothing like being debt free. That is the best gift of all. Save more than you spend. Cool. That makes you just more competitive in all of the other things, the big good debt that you want, like housing debt or car debt, right? Student loans.
Brothers and sisters, this is a really good video. It probably had maybe 1 or 2 years of financial education all crammed up in this little 5 minute segment. There's a lot more details that go into a lot of these different strategies, but they're actually great strategies to know and to love. If you replay this episode, if you go back and review some of the things that she said, they are very important. So if you are buying a car, go to the car buying segment. If you're looking for a house, go to the house lending section. If you have credit card debt, make sure you go to that section, because those are pretty much the primary ways that we manage money and we kind of plan for the future. So this was an excellent video. I really don't say that very often. There are some nuances that I did explain during the course of the podcast and during this video, but you need to speak to somebody if you didn't really get what she was saying, because once again, there are some nuances. There's some little details that you need to know that you can actually execute these strategies, and if you're even qualified to execute some of these strategies. I'll tell you one about the credit cards. If you don't have good credit, or if your balance is too high, you wouldn't be able to transfer all of your debt to another credit card and get that special offer of 15, 12 months free, interest-free. You won't be able to call your credit card department and say, can you lower my fee? Because guess what? You've already maxed out. They said, we can't do anything, right? But what you can do is maybe a hardship. There's something very special here. A hardship is where you call your credit card department and you say, listen, I'm going through a tough time. I'm not going to be able to pay this thing. Is there something that I can do? And sometimes what they'll do is they'll suspend your credit card. And this is not advertised. You can't see it on the internet. I mean, if you do, it's, you have to Google hardship for your credit card department, because they're not going to put it on the front page. But what you're going to do, you say, hey, I'm having a tough time. Can you lower it? What they'll do is try to freeze your credit card so you can't use it, but they'll give you 3, sometimes even 6 or 9 months of paying down your credit card, and then it's going to resume back up again. Okay. So be very careful. Then another warning. This is a warning. When you transfer your balance to another credit card, make sure, even though it says 0% interest for the first 12 months or 15 months, you think, oh, I have a year, I have a year and 3 months, I should be able to pay it down. After that term is over, see what the interest rates are afterwards. Sometimes you're getting yourself into an even deeper trap. So if you're at 23%, that rollover credit card may be 25. So if you don't pay it off, or if you don't pay a majority of it off, now you're paying more than you did in the beginning, and you're right back into that sand trap. Okay. These are the downsides that they don't want to tell you. They tell you the upsides about getting out of debt, and it sounds all great, but there are some things we need to, there are some boxes we need to check before we go that far. But I don't want to keep this video too long, because it was really good. I don't want to tear it down too much and you not listen to it, but go listen to it again. If you don't know anything about investing, or all this kind of sounds like, I don't know, a foreign language to you, make sure you check out our 4 Pillars to Christian Investing. It's a beginner's guide to retirement savings. It's only 19 pages, but it goes over 401ks. It goes over brokerage accounts and savings accounts, so you know exactly what you're dealing with. It goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers, all from a biblical perspective. You're going to love it. It's written by me, a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience, and I'm here to help you out. If you love videos like this, make sure that you subscribe and you share and like and hit that like button, comment down below. I'd love to talk to you, learn more about you and how we can help you live a life that's rich and righteous. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing. Make sure you check out some of our other videos. We're going to put it somewhere up here on YouTube somewhere, maybe like a link or something at the end of the video. But that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.